black barrier, bam a lam a lam. I can't do that. All right, anyways, the big black barrier that we talked about last week and maybe even the week before, it was found like literally the next day or 2 days later with holes in it. The holes, suspiciously, are at eye level. A spokesman for the town said, "We thought this might happen someday, just not this soon." So they underestimated the sheer resilience of tourists coming to ruin their little plan. A barrier, I didn't actually think a curtain barrier fabric thing was going to work out. My assumption actually was people were going to hold their hands above the barrier to take the picture. Poking holes in it, I wouldn't have done that, but I actually would have assumed it was going to happen. So what do they need to do? They need to make a Kevlar barrier that they can't easily cut through. There is a plan to repair the barrier and then put a sign up asking people not to touch it. I think they might be, again, underestimating people's respect for other things, because if these are the kind of people who are willing to poke holes in a barrier to take the picture that they want, they're also the kind of people who would be willing to ignore a sign to not touch the barrier. Because anyone who's going to like do basically vandalize something, they're not going to care about a sign that says, "Please do not vandalize this." They are talking about putting up a new screen. So that screen cost 1.3 million yen. And they're saying like, maybe we should put up a new one. I assume they're talking about a different material or something. They didn't get too much into the details. They are talking about a different color. They are thinking about changing the color from black, because maybe the black is a bit too intimidating. It's a bit not very aesthetic, to a blue. Or what did Ninja's Used Pen say when they talked about putting up the barrier in the first place? A green. So they're going to put up possibly a green screen in front of Mount Fuji. So my first thought was for the anime nerds. So you take a picture of Mount Fuji with the green screen, and then you can superimpose an anime version of the same Lawson and then put yourself in front of it. And now you're in the dream anime you've imagined all your whole life. And that's pretty awesome. I mean, let's be straight up. That's pretty cool. Then, of course, people are going to get more creative than that and do weird and gross stuff, I assume, because let's face it, that's what people do. A man was arrested for stealing cyanide from a university laboratory. Now, at first I was like, do they keep a lot of cyanide? But this is like a lab. They do lots of stuff, so they're going to have lots of chemicals. So cyanide does make sense for it to be in a university laboratory. Universities, not a big surprise, they keep track of how much lethal chemicals they have very closely. He took 25 grams. So they noticed 25 grams of cyanide was missing and then started tracing it back to him right away. He took the cyanide because he wanted to kill his father, who was nagging him to get a job. So this was a 30-year-old man still in university. His father's like, "Dude, I can't support you anymore. You got to get a job." And he got really annoyed by that. So he's like, "You know what I'm going to do? The most sensible course of action is steal cyanide from the university I go to, take that home and kill my father. No one will know. No one will ever figure it out. It's the perfect plan." The scary part, though, is that the cyanide itself has not been recovered. So there are still 25 grams of cyanide out there in the world roaming free. So be careful. So you go to a famous Japanese restaurant. Japan is famous for its food. So the good restaurants are really good. And the food, the food's famous. So it's the good food's even more famous, even more better. And Japan does have good food. I'm not gonna rip on it for that. You want to go to a ramen restaurant. Ramen's very famous in Japan as well. So you know the most famous ramen restaurants are going to be really, really good. Imagine you're sitting eating this delicious ramen that you've probably waited hours for outside the restaurant. You've gone in and you've maybe even made a trip here to get to it. Well, you start eating it and then smoke starts to fill the room. What do you do? Do you abandon the ramen that you've put so much work into obtaining? Do you just give up on this dream that you've had of eating this very specific kind of ramen? No, you keep eating. There were no instructions from the staff to actually leave. There were about 15 customers in the ramen restaurant when smoke started filling the room. No one said anything. Only when the flames got higher, this is what the article said, only when the flames got higher were people told to leave. Apparently staff started to panic. So I'm betting what happened was there was a fire and then the staff were like, well, we should get everyone out of here. And then a manager or something's like, no, we don't want to like ruin their dining experience. And then the staff are like, dude, I am not dying for what I assume is a minimum wage job. Maybe it's a high-end restaurant, so you're going to get paid a little better. But still, you're a waitress or waiter or something. You're not getting paid that much. Certainly not enough to risk your life. So what happens? You're like, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to get these people out of here. No one was hurt. The flames did get high enough to touch the ceiling. So the situation.
Yeah.
This is quiz number two. So this is all clearly very successful because we're doing it again. During a student council speech, a student did an imitation of the vice principal, including how they talked and sort of their gestures. So it would be like doing a Trump imitation.
Yeah.
Okay. Not flattering, I assume.
Uh-huh.
So how do you think the principal dealt with it? You have three options. So this is a very uptight, I assume, older Japanese man who's used to being in a position of authority with children. These are middle school kids.
So elementary school.
Yeah, they're not old. They're not. He maybe is at the upper end of 13 because it's a mixed elementary, junior high school situation. So he might be.
Like, I told you how one of the teachers dealt with my daughter challenging them about a school council thing, right?
If you're willing to put that on the air, I'd love to hear it again.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay, go ahead.
They had a school council meeting and all the kids wanted to know why the girls were only allowed to have hair above their shoulder or hair below their shoulder. They weren't allowed to grow it if to make it below their shoulder. So if they went to the school and their hair was short, it had to stay short forever. And the girls were like, that's a really stupid rule. And they brought it up at the council meeting and my daughter was the representative, so she had to present it to the teachers. And they said it, and then the teacher in charge, who was like a veteran, like,
yeah, I'm assuming, yeah, yeah.
He was like in his 60s.
Awesome, you know he loves having rules challenged.
PE teacher.
Oh, it's best one. Because almost all the Ninja News Japan stories about teachers, like 90% of them are PE teachers who are like hitting kids.
Yeah.
Because they're not Olympic athletes yet.
Yeah, and you know those teachers are just fat, old, decrepit pieces of shit as well.
My biggest complaint in judo is you get this group of older black belt dudes who just stand around and shout at people and they can't physically do anything anymore. And I'm like, I understand you still have the knowledge, but you could try.
You could try and spread your knowledge.
Yeah, without shouting. I participate, even though I'm like one of the older guys. But to me, it's like just to maintain my ability. So if I can show people things physically, like here's how you do it, dun dun. But yeah, they bug me. Those guys just stand on the signs.
Learn, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So after she presented this question and wanted like, you know, like, from a human, why, instead of just a rule book.
Yeah.
He just turned to the whole school.
The whole school, yeah.
The whole school. And said, can you believe the stupid question that this stupid little girl just asked me? Can you believe it? What a stupid question. And then my daughter just stood there like, what? What just happened?
Yeah, that's someone who doesn't have an answer who's trying to make the question stupid and not the answer stupid. Because the answer is, there is no reason. It's an arbitrary rule.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's the way it's been. It's like the...
Challenge it.
Yeah, it's like all the other rules that have been like getting basically overturned over the last couple of years. Yeah.
Like all this like sock business, underwear business.
Just everything, yeah.
Like they're not allowed to wear like long socks at my daughter's school either, but they have to. So they have to have bare legs through winter.
Yeah. Which I think is really unreasonable.
Boys can wear trousers.
Yeah. There's a lot of schools now, though. The cool thing is they're doing unisex uniforms, so they get pants. Yeah. They all just get pants.
So it's like, so bad for so many girls in the schools here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
They did do a survey.
They could wear skirts if they could wear like tights or something underneath them.
Well, there's a lot of girls you see when they go to school are wearing track pants under their skirt, which I think is smart. But the shortest skirts, they did a survey, and it's Hokkaido, the coldest place in Japan.
Jesus, what?
Those are hardy women who are beefing themselves up for the upcoming ice age.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what's going on there. Because, yeah, I do remember coming to Japan and seeing the the school skirts and just nothing, like just bare legs. And I'm just like, that is, I'm wearing like an overcoat and, you know, I'm considering long johns later on, you know.
Yeah, you're Canadian.
Yeah, no, it's not even cold. It's wind, and the wind cutting straight on your skin is really bad. Oof. Okay, so you have firsthand experience almost of authoritative teachers just not accepting, yeah, teachers being dickheads. That might be the title of the episode. Okay, so how did this man deal with it? Three choices. A,
okay,
he hit the student. B, he made a speech and copied the students. So he made a speech and imitated the student. So he basically did it back.
Student imitating himself.
Yeah. Wow. No. He imitated the student and like started doing the student's gestures and stuff, basically making fun of the student.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Or C, he demanded an apology. Now, you know, demand an apology actually has like extra steps to it, but.
Yeah. And why do I just want to say all of the above?
Oh, no. This is I am willing to
hit the student, copied them, and then demanded an apology.
Oh, what order would you do it in? I would make fun of the student, then hit them, and then demand an apology. If I was going to do all three of those,
I think it would be
because you get the joke out first, and then whack them when they're not ready, and then be like, "Now you
apology," and then hit them.
Oh, actually, that would make sense. Demand an apology when you don't get it right away. Smack them. Yeah, that would actually make sense to me. All right.
I'm going to go with B.
B, made the speech and copied the student, is incorrect. Yeah. He demanded an apology, but his apology consisted of, "I couldn't sleep. If I have to take leave of absence because of this, you'll have to pay the damages for my absence. And you may be sent to a juvenile delinquent detention center. You may not be able to finish high school." The boy during this time was apologizing profusely and crying.
Yeah.
The mother came to the school, I think the same day or the next day, for an unrelated issue, and then the teacher talked to her. Then he found out the mother helped the student with the speech. He then said to the mom, "I may sue you. We may end up having to settle out of court." So in some weird way, he's already decided he's won and they're settling. Like, not we're going to actually go through a whole court case where this could get thrown out because the judge is like, "Dude, you're being unreasonable." No, I've already won and you're going to have to settle out of court and give me whatever amount of money I demand. So he did some cool shit afterwards. So the kid won the election. So he took down the election results, remade them, and took that kid's name out. So he just like messed the election. And then he was ordered to stay home by the school board because he's going a bit too far. Because he's a psycho. Because he's going way too far. I don't know. Like, I guess you just live this life. It's a weird kind of like, you just are the authority and these kids can't push back and they can't argue with, and you get into this mind frame of anything I do is okay. I think this is the thing I hit most regularly now is these guys have lived this life and gotten to a point where anything I do is reasonable and it's weird that people would react negatively to it.
I had a conversation with a Japanese woman about what she thinks are the worst neighbors to have. Mm. And she said, retired police officers and retired teachers.
Yeah, retired police officers are bored and looking for infractions that they can then cause you trouble with.
Yeah, they want to create drama.
Yeah.
Just do it around their neighborhood.
Yeah. And then retired teachers make sense because, again, they've lived this life where they're the authority and everyone should listen to them.
Yeah.
And they can't accept you like, "No, get off my lawn."
Yeah, someone pushes back against them because you have no authority over me.
It is funny when, like, as an adult, you go into, there's a point where you maybe go into a school and you see the principal and stuff. And you, for a moment, you do feel the principal. It goes away when you, like, realize, no, that's just, like, a dude. And then it goes away even faster when you're like, he's younger than me. But there is a moment, I remember the first time as an adult going to a school and then, like, seeing the principal and being like, ooh, the principal. I was like, well, I make more money than that guy. So I read a lot of Japanese news. That's how this podcast came to be, and one of the things you find out in Japan is that everything, literally everything, is some kind of harassment at the end of the day. And there was a new one that I hadn't heard of, and it's called mood harassment. And I was like, this is getting a bit ridiculous. Maybe I'm just one of those people who's just like at a point in their life where everything, because it's becoming so extreme to my view, is seeming sort of ridiculous. They are saying that if you create a negative mood in the office, that is a form of harassment. So if I'm in a bad mood and that mood affects your mood, that is a form of mood harassment. And the example they were using with sighing is a form of psychological harassment. So you're talking to me and I go, That's harassing you. If I have a grumpy looking face, which I think I naturally have a grumpy looking face, that puts you off. And that is a form of mood harassment. Unintentional sighing is a form of power harassment. So let's say I'm a supervisor and someone's talking to me and I go, Jesus, I don't want to deal with it. That is a form of power harassment. They also pointed out lip smacking and face making. So the lip smacking, like something like that. I assume just that, like smack, like that sort of tisk sound. Face making, again, I run into a problem with that because I have a grumpy face. I think if I'm not smiling, I look really unhappy. I've gotten to an age where I'm starting to get wrinkles and face lines and stuff, and they all draw everything down. So I look more unhappy as I get older, which I guess is also true. People tend to be unhappier as they get older. I don't know. The problem with this, so like sexual harassment, you know you're doing something sexual. Maybe you even know you're crossing a line. Power harassment, you know you're being aggressive towards like an underling as a supervisor, something like that. Sighing, lip smacking, and face making, the perpetrators are often unaware. And it's very hard to get some sort of legal thing on this. Like, how do you define it? And I think one of these things is they're casting the net so broad that literally if I come into the office and I breathe too much, I'm now harassing my coworkers and they can sue me or they can sue the company or something like that. That seems problematic. And I think personally, maybe this one is going a little too far. A YouTuber was arrested. So we did a couple of stories. It was Johnny Somali doing stuff in Japan. He ended up getting arrested. And I don't know if he was actually deported, but he left and he's probably not coming back to Japan anytime soon. There was these people who tried to like cheat the train system and, you know, steal food from hotels, breakfast and stuff like that. So there was a lot of bad behavior from live streaming YouTubers. And that seems to have moved on to either other countries or it's just not happening here as much as it was. And probably because these things are punishable in Japan for sure. It was interesting. A lot of the streamers I'd read about before went to countries where they are essentially more strict and more harsh in their punishments than Japan. I think Japan was attractive because it was sort of a first world nation. It's relatively safe and you assume not much is going to happen to you. Realistically, though, you can only go so far in any country before something's going to happen to you. This YouTuber was Japanese, so it's maybe shifted from foreign YouTubers coming and behaving badly in Japan. This actually sort of relates to the first one. So this is maybe a shift from foreign people doing bad things to Japanese people now emulating those foreign people who did get famous and get a certain amount of money for doing this stuff and copying them. Or it's probably been happening all the time, but the foreign YouTubers are a better story. This is a forcible obstruction of business. So we're going to ding that one. Car alarm started going off. Doesn't look like the mic's picking it up, so I'm going to keep going. He was drunk. He decided to get up and stand on the tables, and while drinking, he would spit it out and spit alcohol onto the table. So this was, of course, ruining his night, disturbing other customers. That's forcible obstruction of business. When he was arrested, he said, "I got carried away because I drank too much." A man had a restraining order placed upon him by a woman who had rejected his advances, and he had continued to it. What? He shot it. He took a shot. He just didn't know when to give up. She'd rejected his attempts at communication. He had been hanging around outside her office, trying to talk to her again and again. She said, "It's too much." Got a restraining order on him. He showed up at her work. When he was arrested, which thing did he say to the police? So A, "I didn't know she worked there." B, "I went to her workplace, but I didn't go there to see her." Or C, "I thought if she saw me, she'd change her mind."
So he's clearly been on her case if there's a restraining
order. There's a restraining order. It seemed primarily he was texting her, but then he was hanging around and that made her nervous. So she contacted the police and had a restraining order put on him.
And then he went to the workplace after.
After the restraining order, he shows up at her workplace. So did he say, "I didn't know she worked there"? Did he say, "I went to her workplace, but I didn't go there to see her"? Or, "I thought if she saw me, she might change her mind. Because, you know, look at this package."
Yeah.
I mean, check this. Check out what I'm offering, man. She's not going to refuse this.
Come on. Like, anybody that is that persistent has to be that blind.
The excuses are always really This is basically where the quizzes are coming. How do these people talk to the police? Because there's almost like a set of answers that you get regularly, which is the bit I enjoy. So,
oh man, I think it's C.
C. I thought if she saw me, she'd change her mind. Is incorrect. Yeah, like
he's really.
Yes, he said.
So persistent.
Yeah,
what he was doing that. He must have been like, she just doesn't realize.
She just doesn't realize how much she loves me. Yeah.
Okay. Right. What was the correct answer?
I went to her workplace, but I didn't go there to see her. But it's such a lame excuse because, like, you have a restraining order, so you know she works there. You know you're not supposed to go. And he's like, but I had other business at the. They didn't say where the workplace was because I would have liked to know if it's like a place where individuals actually go in.
Yeah, like if people could be there. Or if it was just...
Yeah, like we sell industrial drills to countries. Yeah. And like individuals don't walk in off the street for that. So that'd be like, yeah, it does not make sense. But if it was like we sell products, then you could almost make an excuse. Like I buy stuff here. Yeah. This is just the closest one in my area.
No, I'm kind of disappointed by that answer though.
Yeah.
It's the most vanilla answer.
Of those ones, I did like that he's like... I just happened to know where she worked. I'm trying to develop the game as it goes. I was trying to think, like, should I stick to just three or should I just... The other way we could play this game is I give you the scenario and you just try to say what the answer is and then we see how close you can get. So maybe a hint system, almost?
A hint system.
I don't know.
There involves a jacket, sorry, and...
And a boot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I'm working on evolving the game now from just multiple choice. A Chinese YouTuber came to Japan. Since we have two stories about YouTubers, I thought it was nice. So again, the local-born native live streamer getting in trouble, and now the international live streamer getting in trouble. He went to Yasukuni Shrine, which is a memorial for World War II, which means it is also a war memorial for war criminals. That is problematic for Chinese people. Every year, members of the government will go and pay their respects at this shrine. And what they're doing is, in a way, saying, thank you, war criminals, for doing all the work you did in the past. The Chinese government, the Chinese people, one of the places that was invaded by Japan, thinks like this is something maybe you should not do. It's very difficult water to tread, but the Chinese have got a firm stance, and I don't actually think it's wrong. I don't have an answer to this one for sure. I think if I was a politician, I probably wouldn't go there just to not upset other countries, because it's not just China. It's any country that Japan's invaded probably gets annoyed by this South Korean stuff, and they're trying to build relations. This YouTuber goes by the name Ironhead, which is actually a pretty cool name. I can't make fun of it since my name is Chunk My Beef Chest. He decided the best thing to do would be to make a little speech about, and he said this was in protest of the Fukushima water treatment, the water release. So the Fukushima power plant had a meltdown. They have all this irradiated water and they have a plan. They're releasing it bit by bit into the ocean and it will dissipate enough, hopefully, that it doesn't actually negatively impact anything, but they still can get rid of the irradiated water. China has been against this. They've clearly reported to their people, this is a bad idea, we shouldn't do this. Their alternative was to shoot it into the atmosphere, which maybe works the exact same way. But in my head, I was like, that seems just as bad, if not somehow worse. I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough about the science behind it. The scientists said the amounts they're doing and the way they're doing it is safe. I don't know. I know bananas are radioactive, so that's another whole other thing going on there. So he wants to protest the release of the Fukushima water. He's come to Yasukuni Shrine, which is essentially a war memorial enshrined for World War II soldiers and therefore includes war criminals. He filmed himself doing this. This is the issue. So he's getting caught because there is actually footage of like security footage of him doing this. But the way he got caught is he posted it on the Chinese version of Instagram. So China has their own version of all the apps that we know and love so much. Instagram. And then he took it down when it started getting some heat. That video was taken down and shared outside of China. So it got captured elsewhere. So he gives a little speech and he says that this place, they want to treat the world like a toilet. He's going to treat this place like a toilet. So he climbs onto a pillar and begins to urinate and then spray paints the word toilet on the pillar. If he gets caught, so it seems like he's escaped and gotten back to China, so he's probably not in the country anymore. But if he comes back, he could be caught. You could get 3 years in prison and a 300,000 yen fine. His protest, I think this is an ineffective way of protesting. That's something that maybe people need to think about. Like, if you want to protest stuff, it needs to have some sort of impact beyond 10 seconds and getting you arrested. You need to have some sort of something in place. Like, I don't think most protests are particularly valuable. I don't think they're particularly effective. But this one, peeing on something, I mean, I think he chose Yasukuni Shrine because it was going to get a lot of traction in China. But at the same time, since it started getting traction in China, it means it got really popular. Once it got really popular, everyone was seeing it. He had to take it down because he was going to get in trouble. There is no extradition treaty, but I'm betting the Chinese government's like, you made us look bad. And in China, you can actually get in trouble for making the country or the government look bad. Like, you can lose your social status and stuff. So I think maybe he thought this was going to work out. This was going to make him more popular. And then it did. And then he realized, oh, it's maybe popular with this base group, but also the people who would feel obligated to punish me for it.